That is really nice.
I can't take a man that sniffs his beer every time he takes a sip seriously.
Welcome, Long Snapper Podcast, blah, blah, blah. You know how this goes. Yeah, it's the off season. No one gives a shit what's happening. It is the 27th of June. I'm Adam. I have some people with me. Nate Oro, whose ass crack is apparently really hot. How are you doing, Nate?
Well, I wasn't even aware of this. This is all Rich filling us in. So I'm as interested as the rest of you.
I mean, hot in what sense? Let you be the judge, listener. Rich is here.
I am.
Fresh from presumably not attending the Glastonbury Festival.
No, I didn't go.
But I guess
I watched a lot of it on TV, though, which was great. It meant that I didn't smell all weekend and got to enjoy it.
I mean, I imagine you still smell, but I'm sure
my ass crack isn't sweaty right now.
I'm sure you wished you were on one of the other stages while everyone was enjoying Elton John, but you know, it wasn't to be.
Honestly, if I'd been at that festival, I'd have been furious at The Clash because Queens of the Stone Age were on the other stage, and yeah, I knew someone was going to make that joke.
It was a tap-in, to be fair.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I said it, I was like, just wait to see who jumps on that one.
I am the dickhead.
Yeah, so that was annoyingly Arctic Monkeys, fine, but I'm not really bothered about them, so I'll happily see them if they were the only thing on. And who was the other headliner?
I'm sure they'll be thrilled with that compliment.
You can forget on that. I get the impression if they were in my back garden,
I might not draw the curtains.
I get the impression that anyone who's a massive Arctic Monkeys fan thought it was the best thing ever, and anyone who wasn't that bothered were just like, this is really boring.
You should try and see them while you can before they disappear up their own arsehole.
It's too late for that.
Too late, way too late for that. I saw them at Leeds Festival in, I want to say 2004, just before their first album and single drops, and they were incredible, and they've been rubbish ever since, basically.
Almost. You knew them before they were big.
I didn't really know them. I saw them, they were amazing, but I went because of my mate who likes them, who was local to the area. They were really good. I like the first album still. Everything else they've done has been shit.
That first album was fantastic.
Yeah. And it still holds up today.
But it just feels like they've moved
on. Hang on, isn't
so
this a different podcast?
That.
Isn't this a different podcast that you do?
I might be wrong.
That one's very much in hibernation at the moment.
Rich Newnham and my co-host, Henry Salmon. Henry's not here, sadly. It would be great if Henry was here. I don't think... Although, if there was going to be one episode that Henry could come on and have a chat, it's probably this one.
Definitely this one.
Pat is here. I haven't introduced you, and we're at least 17 minutes in. how are you doing up there in Stevenage?
I'm doing well, yeah, very well. You know, suffering the off-season drought by watching European League of Football highlights and realising how good the production quality is on the NFL stuff.
We've got a little bit more money to spend.
Just a little.
We've got... I see your Zoom name is USFL Champ Game Preview Show. That's what we're going to do.
I mean, obviously, we've got to pay that game more attention than we paid the Super Bowl, whatever that is.
That would be on brand if, A, I knew who was in the game. And B, I'd seen more than a couple of drives of it. I did watch a couple of drives. I did notice that there was nobody there, which isn't going to help a league sell itself.
They have been very empty. It's been an unusual, maybe not unusual, but disappointing.
It's almost like having two spring leagues, both trying to get off the ground at the same time, isn't particularly helpful to either.
Yeah. And you really need the crowd noise to drown out the irritating noise of the drones that they've got all over the place, because you don't notice that until there's no one in the stadium. And then suddenly every time anything happens, it's like, wee! It's like listening to Australian slipfields.
We're definitely missing. Well, I guess we're missing the NFL. I don't know how much I am, in truth. I don't mind the lengthy off season. Like it. I'm,
I've,
I'm, you enjoy things more. It makes you appreciate it.
I've got a feeling that we won't even really be, or we will continue to miss it through the actual season now that the Game Pass has moved to the Zone and it's looking like it's going to be shit. The maximum quality they're going to be streaming in, by the way, looks to be 720p.
What?
Is this the 1920s?
Well, exactly. Pat's sat there in better quality than 1920p and his camera's shite.
You prefer me not to be, but that's a different story.
The issue is really... that Pat's got a window behind him, so he's basically just a shadow at this point.
It doesn't help the matter, does it?
Annoyingly, the best quality camera of the four of us, I would say, is Nate's. I'm not sure who.
That's because I took it from my office.
I don't know who I want it to be. I'd like four blurred faces, ideally.
I do like the fact that Nate's is mounted basically on the ceiling, so you don't get him looking at you unless he's actually making a point.
I'm looking at the monitor. I'm looking at a monitor that my camera's not actually mounted on at the moment. Because I've got four monitors. Because why the fuck would I only have one? like a fucking peasant.
I mean, I can understand too, but forcing is a touch excessive.
I'm a software developer. I need to have a window with it, what I'm watching on. I need to have a window with the application I'm creating on. One window for all the code that's also in portrait, and then another window for the debugging console. Like it's not. I mean, three would suffice, but four is ideal.
Are we still recording? Oh, shit, we are. Oh, my God.
Fuck off. I wasn't even going to fucking come today anyway, was I? I'm only here to play Jackbox after this shit's finished. Yeah, you
pull back the curtain, why don't you?
Yeah, we might play some Jackbox, but you don't want to hear that. it was one of those things. I thought, I mean, it's like literally 2 months. I know when we last podded, it was draft week, and it was before the draft, and we joked about coming back and reviewing it afterwards. What did we think of the draft? I don't know. It's too long ago. I couldn't.
Somebody
tell
took anything. A running back too high up. That's all I remember now.
Probably.
I was happy.
I mean, good.
You got a quarterback, and it wasn't the one you didn't want to get.
Exactly. And even better, the one I didn't want to get went to the Titans.
I know what you're going to say, but it was. He was drafted in the top of the second rather than the top of the first, so I'm not really that bothered. It feels like a... Anyway, I don't care. Honestly, right now, I don't care about any of that.
I don't care, but I'm going to defend him to the death.
I'm not defending it to the death, that's for sure. I can't.
It's almost like you should wait a few years before making any decisions about whether a quarterback's good or not.
Uh-huh. No, that's
any player in the draft.
Why would you do that?
Nobody's got a clue.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
The one thing I will say, going back to draft reviews, is why the fuck does anyone pay any attention to any of the draft grades that any of the media give anyone's draft? Because no one knows. If people knew, like, you wouldn't get players. I'm sure we can all think of a player from our teams over the last couple of years who's been drafted in like the fifth or the sixth round that we fucking love and is a starter.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
What was their original draft grade, though? That's the question. That's the question that matters.
Original draft grade C+. Haven't heard of him.
Yeah.
I recall having this conversation actually the last time we podded, but like day 3 of the draft, all these analysts sitting there live Googling all these players, pretending that they've heard of them.
They were talking about day 1 of next year's draft, because they give shit about day 3 of this year's draft.
I feel like what has been going on, there's been a bit of... Somebody got arrested. Who got arrested?
Tyreek Hill. But then didn't get charged, presumably because the person decided not to press charges for some unknown reason.
The person didn't press charges because they got a healthy payout and they're a Dolphins fan.
Meanwhile, the whatever prick it was that was trying to sue... who was it? Devontae Adams, I'm going to say?
Yeah, Devontae Adams. The cameraman that got shoved gently and didn't hurt themselves at all.
He also got a handy payout. one must assume.
Yeah,
because he's not just going to run away from that, is he?
That said, pending, the judge, not finalised.
Didn't the judge laugh out of court? I thought they were basically like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, the criminal case was dismissed and the civil case is pending.
Right.
Just tedious. Just
Antonio Brown got his team kicked out of the league.
Who's his team?
I don't know. I don't even know what they're called.
Albany, he got his, I think.
He got his team kicked out of some league and now all the players and staff are suing him because not only did he not pay them, he took money back.
They were the reigning champions of arena football and he took them over and fucked them up thoroughly and it's entirely predictable what happened.
Yeah.
I had a good, time reading that.
This is why you need us in the middle of the off-season to bring you up to speed with all this stuff.
And that's everything from the world of football.
Well, I do. There are two more things related, vaguely related to the NFL that I do want to talk about. One you touched on already. One you touched on already, which is this Game Pass move over to DAZN, if that's its real name. Did you? What did you call it? You called it something else. Dazoo.
Design.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Oh.
I believe so. That's what I hear Americans calling it. So I just sort of followed along. Not that that's a rule to live your life by.
But it's. I can think of. I reckon this is the third time in my Game Pass subscribing lifetime that the product has changed hands, and each time it's happened, it's been a complete disaster, and everything. Well, I suppose it's a good thing that the panic is happening in June rather than when the panic normally happens with this, which is about 6 p.m. on week one on the Sunday when nobody can watch it. Fingers crossed that won't be the case. But I don't know. It's just it's somebody different that's going to bill it. Although I did see some stuff about, they're just taking away content. Like a lot of the old highlights and games won't be there and you won't be
There's loads of highlights. There's loads of highlights and full games, but there's hardly any game in 40. And there's a concern that they're going to get rid of that. And that's how I watch football, like most football through the week. So if they get rid of that, I'm going to be fucking steaming and I'm going to end up watching highlights because I'm not watching a full fucking replay.
That is how I consume 6 games. 3 nighttime games a week. On the Monday, Tuesday, and Friday mornings. That's how I consume them. That would be ludicrous. But it's not even them that produce that. The NFL produced the Game in 40, and they just upload it onto their platform.
The Game in 40 for TV platforms. So it's not like they won't still be doing that. You know, it's what Sky use for most of their highlights.
Hopefully, design just haven't.
The zone. I'm not on board with that. Can we call them DAZN?
No. Okay.
Right. Then they shouldn't have made themselves that.
You're quite. Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The biggest difference between this time and the last time was that it wasn't that Game Pass was being handed off to someone else. It was that they were developing a brand new app for it, which just seemed to be a complete shit show from day one. Whereas at least DAZN or DAZN or whatever we've decided to call them. At least they're already streaming large amounts of like sports content within because they're across a lot of Europe now.
It doesn't mean their application works or is good.
Well, I don't know. I'm
far from it.
I'm sure people who are using it will tell us otherwise. But I don't know anyone that signed up to them, so at least like their current content.
I first came across their name in. I was going to say in Germany, that would be a lie. In Austria, while searching German TV for the NFL, and they were showing games on the DAZN, DAZN.
It's not hard. And also Z, really? Jesus.
That was a joke, you moron. And they were showing it on there in Germany. And this is going back a few, like 3 or 4 years. I think it was just a streaming channel. But maybe it still is. But it's existed for a while. It's quite a big thing in Germany for other sports.
Yeah, you can subscribe to it. There's like a monthly subscription thing that you can do in the UK. It has like almost no boxing on it,
which is great because it means there's another channel that we can subscribe to and give more money to various splintered sports things just to watch the sports that we just all want to watch in one place. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah.
That's the way of the world. But if it's Game Pass and they're going to be charging the same as what they did last year, then if it works.
It seems that way. From what I've read, it's basically more the content that people are complaining about rather than any kind of pricing changes.
But I guess it's possible that the content isn't all there yet. Like it doesn't change officially till August the 1st. They're trying to merge it and do it a bit in advance. Yeah, I don't
know. It's just a very weird thing to do to release, to start switching people over before you've got everything ready. And like they say they're going to have it by August the 1st, but they don't have the, you can't sign up for the, like the installment payments at the moment. So it's just very bizarre that they've sort of gone, we're not really ready for you, but come on in.
Nate, yeah. That doesn't sound like any kind of tech development company I've ever heard of.
They probably developed it on only two screens. We know that's just a physical impossibility.
I have registered and logged in, it looks more or less exactly the same as the old Game Pass. So it's an almost like for like port.
Yeah, they probably bought the rights to the app along with the rights to, you know, Game Pass generally. So yeah,
yep.
Whatever. We'll probably wait until week one and see whether people are screaming at their Twitter handles about this shit.
No, well, nobody
to the big pile of
Twitter.
Capitalism being a tedious pain in the arse, along with mobile phone providers and insurance companies.
Well, there are several AOBs in there, and we know one of yours is lined up already.
No comment.
Yeah, week one, 6 PM. It's going to be fun, isn't it? No, no one's going to take to Twitter to moan. No, people are better than that.
That's not what Twitter's for, is it?
Week one, 6 PM. Not you. You mean it's going to go swimmingly on the Thursday night?
Oh, yeah, but nobody... Thursday night will be on Sky as well, and nobody will...
I always watch on Game Pass, regardless of whether it's on Sky or not.
Is that just because of Neil Reynolds? Because
it's at least 95% of the reason.
He doesn't do the late games. He doesn't stay up. Yeah,
they just put those little ads, like, jingly things in between. Yeah.
But yeah, I always watch Get On Game Pass if it's available, personally.
You just like your football delayed by minutes.
If I'm paying 160 quid for a service, I'm going to fucking use it.
that's fair.
And I don't pay for Sky, so.
Oh, well, that's the 95% Neil Reynolds thing is probably a bit of a lie in that case.
It's 100% factual. That's 95%. That's probably 93% of the reason why I don't pay for Sky. Because they hired that twat.
Oh, bless him.
Continue to sustain that moron.
At some point, they're going to replace him with AI and no one's going to notice.
Everyone will be like, Neil seems like surprisingly chipper and knowledgeable today.
What has gone on funnier? Here? How's he got funny? Sorry.
I've said this before. I went to an NFL UK event when the Titans were last here, and he like compared, they had like a player from each of the teams that were coming over. And he was honestly like funny, entertaining. He was brilliant, like proper natural at hosting an event like that. And yet he just kind of goes wooden. Maybe I was talking about this recently. I actually think it's almost more the Sky remit and the way they produce the stuff. And like they want to just make it. Oh, I don't want to go down this road.
I'd rather Jake Humphrey was presenting it, frankly.
Oh, steady. Steady.
No, Jake.
Jake, I watched a Super Bowl presented by Jake Humphrey about 20 years ago. and because I can't remember, I think it was BBC, and he clearly didn't know anything about the game. And he was just given this gig. Oh, Jake, what are you doing Sunday night? What are you doing Sunday night? Nothing. You fancy presenting the Super Bowl? The what? Sure, just Google it. It'll be fine. We'll send you over there.
What's this superb owl everyone's talking about?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's a...
I particularly love that the subreddit Super Bowl actually got taken over by people just...
Oh, yeah.
Just posting pictures of owls, and all of the NFL fans left, and it's now genuinely just about owls.
I've got that. That's probably better, in truth.
I mean, I stayed. It's pretty good. It's nice also, to see, like...
Who the fuck needs a subreddit for one single game? Just use the NFL subreddit.
Right, yeah. What are you doing? It was a rival one to the NFL subreddit, and then it got overtaken, probably by NFL fans that were on both, and were like, actually, we only need one. Let's sabotage this place.
I'll tell you what. I know a cracking owl sanctuary. I've got the wrong people.
That is the most Patrick Jackson thing I've heard someone who isn't Patrick Jackson say.
Oh, you didn't even get it, you prick. Oh, where's
Mark's
Mark?
Not here.
Even Craig would have got that.
I know. It's been said often enough on this podcast these days.
You think. That's
I'm new. Sorry. I'm not in on all the old jokes.
If there's a reference you don't get, it's going to be Partridge. That's just how it goes.
Right.
I think I know most of my Partridge because of the podcast, not because of watching Partridge.
I haven't watched Partridge for donkeys.
Do you ever find you watch occasionally quite an old film that you've never seen or that you've maybe seen once, and then you recognise some references from The Simpsons?
Yeah. You do that like with Partridge.
So it's basically the same.
Except somehow here you're equating us to The Simpsons, which is way above our station.
Is it? Everything is, right?
I don't know. If you've seen like anything beyond season 15 of The Simpsons, we're probably about par.
They're enjoying themselves. No one else is enjoying it anymore. That sounds about right.
It's the same as music and films. They didn't need to make any more as of about 20 years ago. They still do. I don't consume it, but there's enough already.
That would mean that Ted Lasso didn't get made. Are you really saying that?
I said...
Take it back, you motherfucker.
All right. Well,
Ted Lasso is worth all of the terrible...
I didn't say TV. I said right. Movies, films.
Ted Lasso is worth all of the terrible shit.
Ted Lasso's worth a lot, a huge amount. That was incredible. The other NFL-related thing I wanted to touch on. Before we go down the Ted Lasso rabbit hole. why am I saying this? Yeah, tickets. That was the shit show I think everyone expected.
Did you get some?
Well, I had some. I tapped someone up previously, so I have. But this is another one. Piece of the farce is that season ticket holders exist. Like, you have a season ticket for two games.
Awful, isn't it?
And it's quite a lot of them. And I'm in the camp of was promised them for being a Wembley season ticket holder at Tottenham, and they welched on that. I'm in that camp from failing to get one. Whatever. But plenty of people have them. I just kind of, I was mulling this over, funnily enough, in the whole process of acquiring these, and you have the individual tickets go on sale. So Wembley doesn't seem to be as much of an issue because people don't want to go there as much anymore, and it's bigger. But the two games at Tottenham, so the Bills against the Jags and the Titans against the Ravens. Now, there are four fan bases of people absolutely desperate to get tickets, and there are 28 other fan bases over here of people who also would quite like to get tickets.
Yeah, if it looks like a good game, you're going to try for tickets.
Yeah, and you would. I've just kind of... It's maybe a new way of thinking, but it sort of occurred to me that I'd like to think we could, based on the clear facts that demand is so much greater than supply with these games, but there must be some sort of a way that the fans of the teams that are playing in those games can be somehow prioritised. And this would have other benefits. Like, it would make the atmosphere so much better if you'd have proper crowds of the fans of. I'm not so worried about the home team or the road team because you're going to get like that balance isn't necessarily right anyway. But have fans of the teams that are playing in that game or more of them. Like, I would like forgo tickets to neutral games to make sure that I could get tickets to my own team.
How do you prove? How do you prove that you're a fan of?
Well, this is a problem. This is a problem. I don't know if it's workable.
I think it is. I think what you could do is to, before you announce any games, get people to register their interest in coming to the London games or the German games or whichever.
And you have to declare the team, and you can't then change it ever.
Yeah, the only problem with that is you'd have you'd suddenly have a huge number of Jags fans in this country because everyone knows they're coming over.
The Jags case is maybe a bit different. I'd be interested to hear your views on this, Pat, because you've got a game every year, so it's probably not as sought after. Like you can live with missing the odd one because your team's over here twice this year.
I was going to say, is it two games this year?
It is back to back Falcons at Wembley and then Bills at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
One of those is an away game, right? Technically speaking,
yeah, we don't have to go to Buffalo, which is very pleasant.
But that wasn't my point.
My point is that
you'd get a chunk of fans who support other teams lying and saying they support the Jags just in the hope that they can then get those tickets.
Sure.
But what I think you'd ultimately end up with is people, like you say, would be more interested in getting their own team. So you'd be worried about, well, if I say I'm a Jags fan and then the other game is my team, I miss out. So yeah, I do think you could make it somewhat workable. But you'd end up with we've already talked about Glastonbury, but Glastonbury, you have to pre-register way before they announce anything of who's playing and whatever, all of that stuff. And you just do that with this. You just say you have to register, you know, at the end of the previous season. Otherwise, you don't have any ability to try and get those tickets.
Yeah.
They did pre-registration this year, presumably in an attempt to put off touts buying them all. And I think what it didn't fucking work. Put off slightly more casual fans and lazy bastards like me who looked at it and went, fuck it, I'll just hopefully find someone who's got one who wants to flog it to me because they know I'm a Jags fan, which is what's happened in the end. I didn't bother to register and they all ended up on StubHub.
But you're going to the Jags-Bills game. I know you are.
Friend of the show, Greg Kett, sorted me out, which is kind of what I relied on.
The thing is, I know there are Titans fans that have missed out, but I also know some of those same people probably went to the Giants-Packers game last year. So, like, that's the balance that could be somehow redressed.
At this point, I've been to as many non-Jag games as Jags games because people had spare tickets. And I was like, I'll go along to watch the Raiders with you. Raiders-Cowboys, I think it was. Like, whatever, you know, it's still enough for us.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to plenty. Don't get me wrong; it's good. I mean, but it's got to the point where the fandom is so big.
It's becoming farcical because of the rise in the game, right? The rise in popularity. It's become farcical because so many bots get tickets, so many scalpers are getting tickets, and you've got genuine fans not able to attend. I think there are other ways you can go about it. Like there was. When I saw Rage Against the Machine at Finsbury Park, that was sort of like a ballot thing where you put your name in and it was drawn at random and I just happened to get tickets for it. You do that completely random, completely fucks bots up that way.
You're not going to believe what's happened. This is quite a twist. But there's someone's joined us. I forgot. What's your name again? Sorry, mate.
How is it?
There we go.
Can you hear me all right?
I'm afraid so. Yeah, loud and clear.
How you doing?
Busy shooting bears in the off season. He's here.
How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, we're good. What's going on? It's not too dark to play golf already. Why are you here?
No. I am currently in charge of my children for the first time in quite a long time.
For the first time ever.
Completely unsupervised. My missus is on school camp. She's a teacher, not a pupil. So, I've got two days of child activities. And I thought, well, Erin's out in the den doing something and Samuel's asleep. So why not? There's nothing on television, I mean, that could be in any other business.
Have you tried the channels that start with a 9? You normally find something there.
Well, you know, being a man of a certain age, I can't find those on my Sky Q. I've not got it set up. Humble brag. But also, I've quite literally nothing else to do.
That's fair enough. I mean, just to pull back the curtain, we tried to do our annual cricket podcast, the Long Leg Pod, last week. What basically happens every time there's an exciting test match is we all say, let's do a Long Leg Pod. And then it never happens because we can't organise it. But what happened, Tuesday was, I think, the day the game ended. And Russ, you said, I can't tonight. I'm playing golf. I could do Thursday.
Yeah.
We agreed Thursday and then sent a message around on Thursday. And your response was, I'm playing golf. It got postponed from Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, ironically, Tuesday absolutely twatted down pretty much all day in Cornwall. So, yeah. Anyway, enough about me.
I mean, you can record the podcast indoors.
Should we not talk about me? I don't know.
There's a first. What about, sorry, Russ, no need.
We've been going 20 minutes and we've easily run out of NFL content. So this is a nice boost to our what were we talking about? Fucking ticket prices at Wembley.
Did you not start at 8:30?
Okay, fine.
Well, I've just dived in halfway through then.
Doesn't matter, to be honest. It's how we roll. What's going on? Rugby? There's no rugby going on, is there? There's World Cup this year. Is Maulover going to come back?
No, Maulover is deader than A-line flares with pockets in the knees.
Red Dwarf? Is that that reference?
I think it was Red Dwarf. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's good. That is niche. I stuck in a Partridge reference about 10 minutes before you joined us, and it was like tumbleweed. Nate didn't recognize it.
I didn't laugh because you've said it 70 million times before, and it's gone back through that not funny, and will come back to being funny, I don't know, 10, 15 references from now.
Rich, you can get fucked. Every single Partridge reference at any juncture is always funny.
Russ, I know a cracking owl sanctuary.
Well, it's ironic because I don't know if I've mentioned this, but there is an actual owl sanctuary called the Screech Owl Sanctuary, right, like 2 minutes from where I live.
That makes me think of Saved by the Bell.
Yes. Dustin Diamond.
The late Dustin Diamond.
The late Dustin Diamond. Yeah, I mean, that is a late story. I mean, I can't help thinking that me arriving on this podcast is taking it in a very dramatic, you know,
He needed it. It was dying a death already.
I don't know why we're here. Well, I do know why we're here. Someone said, let's get together and play some Jackbox. And I thought we should record something. Like, all we really covered were the crimes that have been committed in the NFL.
We didn't even do that well.
No, we didn't do that properly.
Yeah, there's definitely about 14 people missed.
Jack Jones trying to take guns through Boston Airport. Wonderful. Main one we missed. It's going to go down really well with Bill, I imagine.
Well, whatever. He doesn't care.
It's classic off-season behaviour, isn't it?
Defensive players are idiots.
What else is going on down in Cornwall then?
Not a lot. Well, I mean, this is borderline any other business territory, but my daughter scored 100 last week at cricket, which is a monumental feat for a 13-year-old girl. I couldn't quite believe it.
Were you there? I saw some of the messages.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Oh,
there.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Missed it all. Ironically, it's probably better for her that I missed it all.
Maybe that would have ramped the pressure up.
Maybe.
That has got to be up there with a proud parent.
It's quite hard to fathom. I don't think she's quite grasped the magnitude of it yet. Because getting 100 at any time, even if the bowling is, you know, less than mediocre, you've still got to not get out to it, which is really, really easy, given there are lots of ways to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you hit the final four balls of the innings for four to get there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, I saw the you posted the scorecard on Facebook, and the strike rate was pretty impressive. It's like 150, wasn't it? Somewhere that.
Yeah, 100 off 76 balls.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
And her impressive. And her and the 17-year-old she was batting with put on 265 for the fourth wicket after the number two batter was out first ball and the number four batter was out first ball.
You'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
It was one of those lopsided scorecards where, you know, it was a day of two batting conditions, two first ballers and two big tons, because the 17-year-old got 129.
Nice.
So, yeah, definitely a proud parent moment. Other than that, it's all good. I've been beavering away, setting up the League of Clowns. I know we don't like to talk about fantasy. I've been preparing my commissioner duties for the new season.
Of which there are lots.
Obviously, I'm taking them very seriously. And I'm looking forward to the new NFL season. Very, very much so. Especially with my Broncos going to be tearing it up.
I was going to ask that. Is it still your Broncos?
It is still my Broncos. I think that'll be it now. When I started my new job, which was when? It was in April. There were three guys who I was working with or you know, met almost immediately, and they were all from Denver. They were all from Broncos. They were all Broncos fans, so quite obviously. And it was really great. You know, just chatting football with them. Chatting football Americans kind of hits different when you don't really know what you're talking about.
Were you I love the initial surprise that you know anything at all. It's brilliant.
Well,
and they,
I didn't give that impression.
Well, you knew who Russell Wilson was, which I assume surprised.
Correct.
Them.
Well, it did until they asked me what my name was, and then they just laughed.
That's a good point.
And they were like, I was like, oh, yeah, are you excited about, you know, Sean Payton coming in? It's going to be great. And, you know, Hackett was a bust and he was an absolute clown. And, you know, things are going to be different this season. And I actually genuinely believe it. I think that we are very much in a, perhaps not a Super Bowl window now, but there's a lot more anticipation than there was, halfway through last season, where it was dismal and dire at best.
No, I think you have to believe that the Broncos are in a window right now. You look at the coaching staff and the talent they've got there. That's a very, very solid roster.
Yeah, I mean, picking up P. Ryan is an interesting one. I don't know.
Is it?
Is it? No. That's what I mean. Like they could do with. Yeah, if there was any way that they could go and maybe get hold of Dalvin Cook. I think if they had a proper lead back, even if it was a bit of a gamble on Cook, that it would make a lot of difference.
We all spent a lot of last season scratching our heads as to why it wasn't working for the Broncos. And
Nathaniel Hackett.
I think, yeah, that's the conclusion I kind of came to, and I think a lot of people did. But I think there was also a view that Russell Wilson was done.
I don't think that's the case. I think he was mailing it in. I don't think his relationship with Hackett was anywhere near like what it should have been. The simple clock management errors and just really poor game management in general. Russell Wilson's too experienced and too been around too long for that sort of shit to be his fault.
I'm just having a moment. If you'd said to me half an hour ago that the most meaningful NFL related chat would have come from you, I don't.
Listen, sure. tonight is a night of surprises.
We were here. We were just going to talk about other business, really. Okay. Pat gave Sorry us a bit of a tea. That's all right. No, to you, this is other business, I guess.
The irony of that is fact. I would ask Pat, obviously, if we're talking about other business, as a Stevenage / Sheffield Wednesday fan, what the hell has gone on with Darren Moore?
I mean, the Sheffield Wednesday chairman is a dickhead. This is what it boils down to. And Darren Moore managed one of the most successful seasons in the club's history, albeit at one of the lowest levels in the club's history, but you can only beat what you're against. Scored one of the highest points totals to fail to get automatics and then pulled their arses together in the playoffs and made it up. And, you know, he navigated through some choppy waters and did really well. Then got fired in the middle of the off-season, in the middle of what should be the most important preparation period, and there's a very patchwork backroom staff left there now. And it basically seems to be boiling down to disagreements between him and the chairman about how they need to set the club up for success in the championship. And the chairman is an authoritarian figure and just went, oh, you can fuck off, I'll sort it out myself. And it's like, yeah, well, that's what got us into League One in the first place, mate. You're running at a fairly large deficit whilst campaigning to be allowed to run at an even larger deficit, which is always a great sign for football fans. You know, chairman's campaigning to be allowed to run at a higher level of financial loss every year. So, yeah, we look like we're going to be a mess and probably will come straight back down again, which is pretty sad given the success of last season.
Has any manager ever been fired in the summer after getting a promotion? Watford must have done it a couple of times. Yeah. But
I did it twice the same season.
Yeah, they got promoted within the same season. He got to the top, 10 points clear, and then sacked him.
Wild.
I mean, at least Sheffield Wednesday didn't sack their manager in the week of a cup final. what sort of football club would do that?
Wow.
Pat, you teased quite a bit of meeting any other business in the last couple of days.
Going into AOB, are we?
I mean, we've been here the whole time, really, but yeah, we're officially going to AOB.
All right. Well, my missus and I work at the same place, not closely majority of the time, because there's like 3,000-4,000 people on site. But a piece of work came into my team and someone said, oh, someone needs to do some checking for this stuff that Suzanne's got. Should be arriving on late Friday, needs to be checked by the end of Monday. Pat, can you pick that up? You've got a bit of slack next week. Because I'm fine, it's not ideal, but I'll do it. So she met me 1:30 Monday afternoon and gave me the kind of lowdown on what needed looking at and gave me the links to it. I got back to my desk at like 1:45, opened up the links to it. 606 pages, 660 chromatograms and spectra to be reviewed by the end of the day. So I got out of work about 6:15 and got home, and she was sitting halfway through her dinner. Mine was sitting in a plate going tepid, and she looked up and went, oh, I didn't think I'd ask that much of you. Maybe you were doing it too thoroughly. Like, mate, 30 seconds a page, less than 1 second per data point. The only way I could have done it less thoroughly was not fucking doing it at all.
If you hadn't spent 10 minutes doing the maths, you might have got it done quicker, I'm just saying.
And I was counting them as I went through just to be able to underline the point when I got home. Because, like, fuck's sake. Take the piss. And people wonder why, like, they said downstairs, oh, why are those analysts are upset? Why are there so many of them? And, you know, what are they doing with the time? We don't know. And then they casually like, oh, yeah, can you do, like, 600, 700 pages of data checking in 3 hours, please? Be reasonable. Be sensible. Don't take the piss.
So she's taken all of that on board for next time, right?
It'll be 750 pages in 3 hours, won't it?
We ain't proper scientists. We're dog's bodies. That's what it boils down to. We're just number providers.
Oh, dear me. Nate, what's going on? Any other business from you?
I've got a couple. I get a new car tomorrow.
Woo!
Just throwing it in there. I'm really pissed off with how it's all gone in the lead up to it, though.
Well, I'm guessing you must be, because the day after the Super Bowl, you were having a test drive. That was 5 months ago.
Yeah, that's not the car I'm getting. We went in and agreed, signed everything back back at the end of May, and it was all arranged.
You agreed it all before the interest rates went up.
Yes. And then
moving
swiftly on.
We're gonna be picking up at the end of July. It came in early. So I can get it at the end of June. But I was like, actually, I could do with just holding it off and, you know, not having to scrape quite as much of deposits and stuff, which they were happy for me to pay on collection as opposed to pay properly up front. They were like, oh yeah, about that, all the prices change on July the 1st, and if you don't collect it before that, you'll have to pay all the higher prices that it goes to, and you might lose this £750 discount that you've got. And I was just like, you fucking dicks. So yeah, just pat me off. Just no need for it. That's all on that one. I'm really excited about getting the car still.
What is the car?
It's a fully electric Hyundai Kona.
I think you find it's Hyundai.
I think you find it's fuck off.
Massive ad campaign in the States while I was out there about how it's supposed to be pronounced, and all the Americans that I knew were just like, we're just going to keep calling it the same thing.
I didn't tell anyone though, Russ.
You mentioned it.
those adverts have been on in the UK as well now.
Yeah, that was the explaining my joke. That was why I made the joke. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm very excited. I'm particularly excited about the ventilated seats.
Oh,
ventilated.
Not just heated, but ventilated.
So basically,
it's got fans in. It's gonna blow cold air up my ass. It's gonna be beautiful.
It will be on a hot day. If I got some spray paint and graffitied the words cock piss oro on the side of it, would that still work?
Yes.
That's good. He doesn't know, does he? He's no
idea.
Yes,
I do. No, yes, equally, of course I do. Of course I fucking know it.
Put it this way, Adam. I'm not driving a Mini Metro.
They've rebadged it, you fool.
the second thing is my missus is pregnant.
Congratulations.
Cheers.
But more importantly, the Hyundai electric.
Oh, I agree.
Congratulations, mate.
Boy or girl, we should call it Hyundai.
Yeah. Don't tell her because she might actually listen.
She ain't listening.
No.
Oh, awesome. What a way to break the news live on the Long Snapper podcast.
I haven't okayed this with her. So it's a good job she doesn't listen because she fucking ripped me a new one.
You heard the chat earlier on. No one's getting 10 minutes into this podcast.
Mate, the minute I joined, six of the 10 listeners switched off.
Mate, was left by that point.
They're all sat there going, well, when does the fucking Jackbox stuff start?
Next week.
Oh, wow. That's floored me. There you go. Nice one. I don't know. I mean, I'd like the idea that people are going to find out in this way is terrific.
it's a new string to the bow, isn't it? A new niche for NFL podcasts for pregnancy announcements.
Yeah. Can I just say right now, can we please never do a gender reveal on this podcast? Because fuck that shit.
I'll do one, but it would just be, oh, boys, I'm having a boy. Hey.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can reveal that I'm actually a man.
Congratulations.
For anyone who's in any doubt.
I mean,
sorry, I meant to say I'm a cunt. Of that, there was no doubt.
You can identify however you want, mate. That's the rules these days.
Absolutely. I will identify as one of those.
Rich, what's going on in your other business?
Well, Russ has already given me shit for it, but I have to mention a little bit of my US trip. Utah is fucking amazing, and I can't believe the Americans don't bang on about it more.
They just get you to do it for them.
You talk to Americans who are out there, and they're surprised by how incredible it is You drive through it and it's like driving through basically all of the European scenery you could possibly imagine, but in about 4 hours. It is absolutely spectacular. And all you ever hear, if you talk to people about Utah, outside of Utah, is just Mormons and weird drinking laws. But yeah, it's amazing. Some incredible national parks there.
What are the weird drinking laws in Utah?
Well, it used to be that they couldn't serve any beer over 3.2%, but they've raised it all the way up to 5%. Although if you buy it in a bottle, it can be more than that. So it's just weird. It is genuinely weird.
3.2% is oddly specific.
And that all ties into the Mormons, because they are fucking weird.
That suggests to me that like some version of Bud Light is exactly like 0.05 less than that, so they can sell it. That's what it says to me.
When you drive over state lines, it's Utah sponsored by Coors.
No, there's a 5% version of almost all the big, like, well, top-selling American beers specifically for Utah on draft. So I think Sierra do a version of Sierra Nevada Pale that is only 5%. Of course they do.
I mean,
it's all this kind of shit.
That is a bit bizarre, but yeah, the photos look good. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it was lovely, and I recommend anyone who likes incredible scenery just go there. You can go to Vegas really as well while you're out there. So you know,
I could take it or leave it.
Scenery? But no, not for me.
Just go gambling in Vegas instead, then.
Russ, have you got any more other business?
My appearance on this week's episode has been one giant any other business, but I discovered some, you know, late review TV shows that I really enjoyed. Yellowstone, which was, I thought, incredible. Basically, for those of you who have not watched it, Sons of Anarchy on horses, which is basically what it was.
That's on Paramount, isn't it?
It is on Paramount. Yellow Jackets, that I've started watching. It's very good.
Bit weird. So anything with yellow in the name, really?
Russ started his TV reviews, just flicked to the Y's and just started there.
And just generally, and there was another program called Industry, which was an HBO program that was on the BBC. You might be able to find it on the iPlayer. But it's about a couple of American sort of students who are in the finance world. It's a bit of a rip off of JP Morgan and that sort of stuff, trading and drugs and violence and sex and money, basically. It's quite good.
All the cool stuff.
The four key components to a good series. But other than that, I haven't really got anything.
Yeah, it looks like it's still an iPlayer.
Sport is weirdly shit. Tottenham is shit. England cricket can't win.
England cricket was a bit weird. I can't work out. I don't know how this is going to go, really. We should do a long leg and discuss
actual cricket. Yes, I'm happy to do that.
I held off talking about that test because I'm hoping you guys will talk about it for me, and then I can listen to that and not have to listen to the sound of my own voice. But I did enjoy it.
Don't make any promises you can't keep.
I did enjoy it to a certain extent, and the match itself was enjoyable, other than the result. I'm in a different group with someone you may know, who is approximately sort of 3.5 foot tall, who's worked it. At these events, and we've been talking about both male and female cricket. After one of the journalists suggested, well, you know, why can't Sophie Eccleston potentially be England's spinner?
I've seen a bit of chat about that.
You know, honestly, because she'd get carted into Southwest, all the way to Southwest London, Northwest London, should I say? Mm-hmm. You know, she'd probably, Travis Head could probably hit her down the main road to Paddington.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she doesn't have a finger that blisters after bowling the fifth over of the innings. So it'd probably be an improvement. I don't know. We need to pod properly. You're right.
We do.
I feel a bit like cricket's going, it's slowly dying, and the odd test that the odd test here and there, like the last one, reminds me of what I've been missing, or what cricket used to be, and there's less of it, and there's too much shit 100 cricket and not enough proper stuff. I know, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to promise anything. What am I doing?
It would make me happy if you guys did, because I'm interested to hear other opinions on that, and I don't necessarily like reading general, like, mainstream media takes on it, because I feel like a lot of that stuff nowadays is just hot takes rather than any actual thoughtful insight.
I know what you mean. I don't consume as much media as I used to. I get in the habit of looking at Twitter and seeing tiny bite-sized bits of nonsense where you could be better off just buying the Cricketer magazine and reading it, but you don't, because it's too easy to look at Twitter and a load of nonsense. But there we go. Other business for me. I got blocked in the car park again today. Same car park. Not the same car. It's become like a normal thing in this car park. And it shouldn't be. It's outrageous that people think that that's acceptable behavior.
Did they get an angry note?
No, because I worried that they respond to the angry note by kicking my car in. That was the main motivation for not doing it. Oh. But I wish, I'd love to have. What I wanted to happen was to bump into them, but it didn't. I missed them.
What would you do if you bumped into them, Adam?
I would politely explain why they were an arsehole, essentially. But I think in person, like, as long as I wasn't, like, I could shout at them, but what does that achieve? But just point out in a nice way how selfish they've been. You know, next time, let reception know you've parked there so that somebody can contact you if they need you to move your car, or leave a note and say, here's my phone number. I'm sorry, I couldn't find a space. Call me if you need to get out.
Like, well, don't park.
But no, they could.
That's the best option.
Preach. Absolutely preach. Don't park like a cunt. If you do, I will be telling you you're a cunt if I see you, and or leaving you a very aggressive.
I purposefully park next to people who are parked like over the or on the white line with their driver's side door. Like, I'll make sure my passenger side is as close to that car as I possibly can.
Not in the brand new Hyundai.
No, even in that. I'll get it too close for them to get anywhere near opening the fucking door.
That was very much done on purpose. I would do the same. I'm here for that.
It's just I don't understand how, like, something like that happens in this car park regularly, because it's been normalized. Like, it's obviously some of the same people regularly doing it. I just can't get my head around it. Like, I can't get my head around how someone could that be that much of an inconsiderate asshole. Like, when there are such easy ways around it. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Because in their head, their time is way more valuable than anyone else's.
Like, I could almost, I could understand it if it was one asshole once. But then you say it's an isolated incident, but it's like every day I see it happens to someone in that car park.
Right. That's why people need to be told and educated.
Yeah.
With a cattle prod.
I keep forgetting to put a pen back in my car. I've got some post-it notes. I like to write, you park like a cunt, and stick it on their mirror.
You can buy. And I've very much thought about doing this, little sticky labels.
Yeah.
Or just like little calling cards that just put it under the windscreen wiper that just says, you park like a cunt.
Russ, if you had those, you'd run out of them in a week.
most of them would be on my own car.
You know what would be incredible? If you could buy them that look like parking fines. Tickets.
Yeah, slot it in the little bag.
I think that exists.
Yeah. I think those already exist. I'm sure I've seen them on, like, social media somewhere.
The documents enclosed little plastic thing. That
the,
stick.
Yeah.
And the document is just a card that says you're part of the card.
Oh, yeah. No, like, you can get them on, you can get a load on eBay and it just says you part like an idiot. Don't do it again. But that's nowhere near savage enough, is it? Let's,
oh, no.
I mean, I imagine you could make them yourself.
I'm quite handy at the graphic design. I can four absolutely monitors. Do it.
Use at least one of those four monitors to create this.
Well, let me see how long it takes me to make one. I'll do one now.
How many printers have you got?
Now, if you do them up like a parking fine thing, you'll sell thousands of them. You make that side business.
Like
Russell provide you with most of your income.
Yeah, just e-commerce it, please. Stick it on.
You get it on Amazon, where if you you get a discount if you do a standing order of like get a monthly delivery of them. that would work.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd need a subscription. I'd put it on people's cars even if they weren't parked badly.
Yeah, just to keep them on their toes.
That's right. Yeah, just to make sure. Listen, you may park badly in the future. Just a general reminder.
Anything else anyone wants to say? I should point out that we are getting together in the middle of July for Tough Snapper, aren't we, Nate?
Yes.
That's going to be good.
I'm so looking forward to that. I think I know it's before it's happened, and it's dangerous to say that we've done a massively excellent job on it, but I think we've absolutely fucking crushed it so far this year. I think it's going to be absolutely incredible.
It's going to be a riot.
I couldn't give a fuck. It's going to be... I thought last year's was excellent, but I think we're going to blow it out of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be good. I need to do a bit more work on it. I got on a roll.
Me too. I've got a whole round. I still don't know what it is, and I'm saying we've done really well. So
I remember listening to that in the car last year. I did almost crash. There's been a couple of those over the last year where there've been podcasts where I've not been part of them and then listened to them back afterwards. It's just been fucking hilarious. Maybe I should do less of them.
Yeah. We definitely don't agree with that.
That's one thing I'm not going to argue with you about now.
Well, one thing is not necessarily for certain, but semi-likely, is that I'll be on more Long Snappers next year.
Yeah. So,
Sean Payton's a decent head coach.
And Morlover's dead.
Moribund. Morlover. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Moribund, Morlover. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. It'd be nice to
moderately funny.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, it'd be nice to chat to you. I should also say it's always fun. It's always fun. I should also say I met Langers for the first time recently. Rob Langley, friend of the show. He has promised, well, he's promised to come on at some point. And I said we'd get him on and bring him on. Yeah, I'm not going to make any promises about when, other than Tough Snapper, when we're next going to be recording, because that would be crazy. But it'd be good to have him on. A few Titans fans got together for a thing a couple of weeks ago, which was good fun. So yeah, you know, you get like a picture of someone in your head, and Langers, I don't think I'd seen, like, I didn't really know what he looked like, because he doesn't have a picture of him as his avatar on anything that I noticed anyway. But yeah, you just get like, Russ, you were significantly taller than I expected when I met you. I don't know what I'm gonna put my foot in it and say, yeah,
no.
Langers was significantly more good looking than I expected or something. I don't know, but you just can, yeah. It's nice to put a name to the face. And
is he a handsome chap?
Yeah, he's a pretty handsome chap. But you know,
most, is he more or less handsome than Doug?
Oh, definitely more handsome than Doug.
Yeah,
I mean that's not.
I was expecting. Is he more or less handsome than Phil Elkins? Have you met Phil? You've met Phil, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I've met Ben.
You've met Ben.
But Phil, I mean, I know what Phil looks like. You can't top the Housewives favourite, I don't think. Sorry, Rob. Phil's pretty handsome.
This feels like a Twitter poll.
Who is more handsome? That would be one of the most niche Twitter polls, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'd love it. It's great. It's perfectly in our niche as well.
Yeah, it really is.
Phil Elkins versus Rob Langley.
It's going to get one vote from Rob, though, isn't it? So
Phil will vote for himself.
Oh, 100%. Phil will buy the Twitter votes that you can do.
He'll retweet it.
Who does that sound like that we know? Pat?
All of.
I mean, he wouldn't do it until you'd already done it first, like half an hour later.
Yes. That's a niche joke.
Not sure what's going on there, but Phil would. Well, all the livestock that follow him on Twitter would probably vote for him.
That's a bit harsh.
It's mostly depends livestock.
It depends whether he was carrying food.
I don't know why I didn't follow it up, but you know when you get on Facebook, like people you may know add like friend suggestions, he popped up and he was a picture of a cow.
Yeah.
I should have added him, but it was far funnier to save it and mention it here. he's definitely not listening at this point. I suspect Rob is, though. So hi, Rob.
I genuinely thought that we'd stop recording because I went to get a beer and came back and you were just chatting shit. So we're still on, are we?
That's the pod, mate. Come on. You're not new here.
We might as well stop recording. We've nothing more worthwhile to say at this point. So let's get out of here. Don't know what this is going to sound like. Don't really care. we'll catch you for Tough Snapper. If not before, it won't be before. Bye for now. Okay. Nice to see you, mate. Are you
Hello, mate.